for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon, ladies, 1:15 p.m. Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Carla Batard is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on self-consciousness.
I want you to open your Bible. We are going to talk today about something that the Lord laid on my heart some time ago, and it's been rambling around in my head, and so I thought, well, you know, today, I think that's what we're going to talk about today. It's something that I call the spirit of magnification. You won't find that in the Bible. It's probably in, well, I'm not even going to say that. It's not something, God, in the kingdom of God, we have multiplication and increase. But in the kingdom of darkness, he uses the spirit of magnification to make things look so much bigger than they really are. And that spirit worked in my life for many years in the area of self-consciousness. And I thought, you know, I've never heard anybody talk about self-consciousness, but that is something I think we all have, and God wants us to be free of self-consciousness. So open your Bibles to Psalm 139:14. Psalm 139. Most of us are pretty familiar with these sets of scriptures. We're only going to read verse 14. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And this is how God looks at us, but we don't always look at ourselves this way. We don't look at ourselves as fearfully and wonderfully made. For many years, I didn't see myself that way. As I said, well, I had two older brothers, and one brother just used to get his kicks out of pointing things out to me that there was nothing wrong with, but he made me feel like there was something wrong with it. Growing up, I was a late bloomer. So I was the flattest chested girl in my school. And I was very self-conscious about that because all the other girls were developed. Not every one of them, but of course I didn't see the ones that were in there with me. You know, you only see the ones that you compare yourselves with that you feel like you should be like that, but you're not. And so I was very self-conscious about being flat-chested. My brother had a bad complexion, and I didn't. And he told me it was because I was not mature enough to have pimples. So I used to wish that I would get pimples. Now, that's perversion. That is the cruelty of the enemy. And, you know, it's really sad sometimes that in our families, our siblings can really do a job on us. He used to make fun of my nose. He said, you know, when you smile real big, I can see all the way into your brain. And so I was very self-conscious about my nose. If I had a date, I would go to the mirror before I left to make sure there was nothing in my nose, that if I smiled real big, he might see something in my nose. Just a real self-consciousness about everything. And God hates that. He hates for us to look at ourselves and be critical of what he made. He made us fearfully and he made us wonderfully. Look at, well, that word wonderfully means, now, this is interesting. It means to distinguish, to put a difference, to show marvelous, to separate and set apart. So sometimes the very things that set us apart from everybody else, the perversion of the enemy is to make you hate that thing. My little grandbaby has the most beautiful curls in her hair. And I thought, It's beautiful. But one of these days, I can remember girls that had curly hair. They hated their curly hair. Why would anybody hate hair that came already curled that you didn't have to fool with? But if we have curly hair, we want straight hair. If we have straight hair, we want curly hair. That is the perversion of the flesh. It's just perversion of the flesh. Even she's in kindergarten, and she was in the store with me the other day, and she said, she saw a little girl, and she said, I wish I had hair like Kaylee Miller. And I said, what kind of hair does she have? She said, straight. And I thought, already? In kindergarten? She's already not liking her curly hair, which is beautiful. It's really sad. But I told her, I said, you know, I used to have friends who had curly hair and they wanted their hair to be straight too. But now there are ways that you can make your curly hair straight. There's ways to do that. I bought her mother a flat iron for Christmas because she lives in the house with me and she went out of town for the weekend and I had washed my hair. I couldn't find my hair dryer anywhere. My daughter had taken my hair dryer with her. I texted her like, would you happen to have my hair dryer? And she texts me back, oops. And I thought, right, oops. Did you not think about that when you unplugged it out of my bag and packed it in your bag, you know? So for Christmas, she got a hair dryer and a flat iron. So now when I get ready to go somewhere, I'll have my hair dryer. But, you know, it is just really sad. So here we go. Look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 9. It says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Is that not actually what we're doing whenever we look in the mirror and we pick something about ourselves that we're dissatisfied with? He made us. It said, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or thy work hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? See, when we question those parts of us that we're not satisfied with, we're actually, it says, woe. That's not a good thing. Anytime you see woe, it's not good. And so it has taken me all these years, 57, 56, I'm 56 years old. And whenever I tell my husband sometimes, I would like to be able to go back, you know, to elementary, not really, but to be able to have been in elementary school and junior high school and high school and have reached the place with my identity that I have now, you know, that a healthy identity, a true identity, the identity that God has given me, not the one that I even see myself or compare myself with others, which we should not do. I look at the world and see what women are doing to themselves. I mean, actually changing every part of their bodies to look like some ideal that they have in their minds, and they don't even realize that they're beginning to look like a monster almost, unnatural. And it's almost like wearing a sign that you've done these things to yourself. I don't know if they think that they don't, that nobody knows it. It's very evident when people begin to alter their looks. And I'm sad because they don't realize who they are. They don't know their maker is the basic thing. Many of them don't know their maker. And therefore, they try to live up to some standard that the world has put out there and that they're all trying to live up to. And so, and I know that God doesn't want his children, his women, he doesn't want any of his creation to be doing these things. But he wants us to love ourselves. And I don't say that in a way of loving yourself to the point that you put yourself above other people. Not that kind of love. But he does want us to accept who we are and not be critical of ourselves and not be satisfied with our bodies. I mean, like, you know, I'm a freckly person anyway, but as I've grown older, these spots, you know, that women get on their hands, and I never even really noticed them until one day I was visiting an aged aunt of mine. She's like almost 90. And I'm just sharing something so dear to me with her. And she said, you know, you can get some cream for those spots on your hands. And I was like, my hands? What are you talking about? I said, those spots don't bother me. And she goes, oh, well, okay. But I thought, okay, now notice the spots, you know. But that's what happens. But really and truly, and my mother has long spindly fingers, you know, they're just beautiful and her nails are always pretty. And I have stubby fingers. I have my daddy's hands. When my babies were little, it used to just frustrate me because those little tiny buttons and those little snaps and all those little things, and I would just really struggle with those things because my hands are like my cell phone. They were showing me a new cell phone the other day, and one had these little tiny spots, you know, for numbers and things. I thought, that if I stick my finger on there, I'm going to hit the 1, 2, and 3 all at the same time. So let me get the one with the bigger squares. I didn't say that to her, but I thought it. But, you know, one day it occurred to me that I have beautiful hands. I have beautiful hands because, number one, they're healthy. They function like they're supposed to function. And they're used for God. And they are beautiful hands. Okay, so I went from being flat-chested, I began to grow, and my legs were very long, and I was very short in the body. So then the deal was, I was embarrassed that I was so high-waisted. You know, you go buy the clothes that little girls would wear, and it'd be so cute, and I'd go try it on, and I could pull up this much. You know, because where the waistline is, where my waistline is, where my hips are, is where the waistline in most clothes are. So I have to buy things. You know, it's just always something. Always something. So I want you to get a piece of paper, and I want you to write down if there's anything. If there's not, praise the Lord. You are blessed. We are all blessed. That was the next scripture. While y'all are doing this, thinking about it, I want you to write down on a piece of paper, if you have more than one that you're self-conscious of, I want you to write down what, don't put your name on it. Nobody has to know who it is or what it is unless you just want to, you know, share about it, testify. Maybe you've already overcome this, and you're welcome to give a testimony of how God brought you to the place that you got past that. But I want you to write down your thing. Write down your thing. And while you're doing that, I'm going to read Genesis 1:27 because I just got really blessed by looking up the word blessed. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Now, verse 28 goes on, but I just wanted to get to the part where it said, and God blessed them. And then in verse 31, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So I looked up the word blessed. He created them, and then he blessed them. Blessed means to kneel as an act of adoration. So when he blessed them, he was actually pouring out his adoration on them. He was pouring out his adoration. So that adoration is on them. Okay, and then the word good, he saw that everything was good. It was, the word blessed knowing that God's adoration was poured out on the man and the woman that he had created. And then it said it was very good. The word good, it says, as an adjective in the wildest sense, used likewise as a noun, both in the masculine and the feminine, the singular and the plural, it means good in the wildest sense. Also, as an adverb, it means well, beautiful, best, better, bountiful, cheerful, at ease, fair, to be in favor, fine, glad, graciously, joyful, kindly, kindness, loving, merry, M-E-R-R-Y, most pleasant, pleaseth, pleasure, precious, prosperity, ready, sweet, wealth, welfare, and being well favored. Can you believe all of that is the definition of good? Isn't that amazing? I was just blessed by all of those descriptions of what God saw whenever he looked upon the man and the woman that he created. It was very good. Even better than just good, but very good. So that's how God sees us. And I would venture to say that there's not many of us in this room that see ourselves that way. Not in the flesh. Not in our world of perfection. Thank you, Jane. Where everybody wants everything to be perfect. When people begin to age, they don't want the wrinkles. They don't want the character lines. They don't want any of that. They want to cover it up or alter it or do something surgical to it to change it, to get it back to its perfect state of youth, eternal youth. And I'll tell you what I have begun to see as the world is always looking for that fountain of youth, that thing they can drink or something they can take or rub on themselves or whatever that's going to keep them young. And I have found the fountain of youth. I didn't think about this when I was getting this ready, or I would have looked up the scripture. The fountain of life is mentioned either in Proverbs or Psalms. And we have the fountain of life in us, which is what the world is looking for. It's not really the fountain of youth, but it is the fountain of life. But youth is in that. It keeps us. The fountain of life keeps us. Your spirit, like when we go to heaven and when people have been to heaven and come back, it's almost like they say, I saw my grandmother, but she wasn't old. She was about 30. You know, they say these things. So I believe, and I know because when I did the spirit of death, the teaching on the curse of death, that's what the word death means, a slow, gradual, diminishing, wasting away. And that's what aging, becoming old and worn out. That's what that's all about. So that curse of death that came on Adam and Eve in the garden and that came on us as a result of being flesh, we have that working in our lives from the time we are conceived. It starts then. When life begins, that curse of death is on us. But Jesus came. Whenever he shed his blood, it says in the word that he abolished death. When we come into Jesus Christ, we enter into eternity, right then, eternal life. And death is abolished. And when we come to Jesus, we understand that he died to take away our sin. But the scripture says that we were made free from the law of sin and death. There's a law of sin and there's a law of death. That's what the aging process is that law of death. And so we'll deal with that too, because we don't, it's not that we want to stay young looking all the time. I want everything that Jesus shed his blood for us to have. And eternal life was one of those. And we haven't, well, let me put it this way. I haven't known that I could have, at the same time that I got saved and my sin, the sin that Adam brought on me was dealt with, so was death, but I didn't know it. So it continues to work. So I want to deal with that today so that we can stop that slow, gradual diminishing away of our bodies, our minds, all that, our strength, our vigor, our life, okay? I mentioned this the other night, or whenever I spoke, that I had been diagnosed with scoliosis, which was curvature of the spine. And years ago, Henry Wright was here, and he had healed, or he had been involved in a healing with a young man who had scoliosis. And in his book, he says that he's never known, or God said to him about the man, the young man that came up for healing, and they prayed for him and nothing happened. So he walked away from the group and said, "Lord, you got to help me here, because this young man has come for healing. He is coming to you, and we're praying everything we know, but nothing is happening." And the Lord told him that there was an evil spirit present. So he dealt with the evil spirit. He commanded the evil spirit that was connected to leave, and his back went and straightened up. Now, I talked about the spirit of abortion, or the curse of abortion. And that spirit was working in my life. I was called a couple of months ago to come pray for this young girl who was going to have scoliosis surgery. I had prayed for her older sister several years ago. And now the younger sister has it. Well, in talking with the mother, I didn't ask her this, she revealed it, that their dad had been adopted. My grandmother was adopted. And I wondered if the spirit of abortion is that evil spirit that is the root to that twisted spine. I don't know. It's just a thought. But I didn't think that was a coincidence. Isn't that interesting? And he was adopted, but he was also illegitimately conceived and had found his birth mom. She didn't want anything to do with him. And so that was a hurtful thing. But I just wondered if probably when the mother was pregnant with that young, with the daddy, that she had contemplated abortion, or she just didn't want the baby. And sometimes that spirit can come in even just by not wanting the child. She gave him up for adoption, and his children have scoliosis. I don't know. It's just a thought. Okay. I think probably those were the only things that I was self-conscious about, but it was enough. And then after I had the surgery, I thought that it did, they halted the curvature. They were able to stretch my spine 2 inches. So when I came out from under, when I got out of surgery, I was 2 inches taller. And that was really strange. But now my back is, and Henry Wright cast that spirit out that night. So I know the spirit's been dealt with, and then the physical part was dealt with because they did the surgery. But in the surgery, it altered the way everything fits together. If you could imagine a spoon, if there was a spoon laying here, the cup part of the spoon is like that, and then the spoon goes up like that. And then the handle will touch the table. And that's basically how the human body is. If you stand the spoon up, the back, and then the small of the back, and then the your behind goes out like that. So what they basically did to me was take the spoon and press that where the small of the back is. They pressed it flat to the table. So the spoon part was done like this. So it has realigned my hips, everything, to the point that it really is kind of a struggle to stand up straight. And so if I walk for a long distance, it really gets to my hips because everything's out of the line now. And it's just like this rod. They put a rod in my back and fused everything together. So there is no motion. You know, I can't twist. That's why when Jane said last camp, doesn't that song just make you want to jump up and down? And I said, no. Because it would be like taking a stick and going bonk, 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 bonk. You know, it's not comfortable to jump. And so that, even after they fixed it, there was self-consciousness. But I told my husband about a month ago, and he would always say, honey, don't let that, you know, rule you. And I said, well, I know that's easy for you to say. It's not on your body. But about a month ago, what really got to me was knowing that my daughter, even though there's nothing wrong with her body, inherited the familiar spirit of all that self-consciousness. She is beautiful. She has a beautiful shape, but she has that spirit that tells her your legs are ugly. I asked God one time, what is that? He said, it's the ugly spirit. It is a spirit that tells a person you're ugly. It's a lying spirit, but we believe it. And then we spend all this time, like she will not wear a skirt because she has it in her mind that she has ugly legs. Now, her daddy, Mike, is not a real big man. His stature is not big. He's 5'10". His mother's petite. His daddy's not a big man. And he worked very hard growing up. He was self-conscious about his size. So he would lift weights and drink all this MLO. I'll never forget. When we got married, he had this big thing, MLO, that he would drink to gain weight. Because he had a fast metabolism. It didn't matter how much he ate, he never gained. Well, it's working to his benefit now. But in those, because with the older you get, the wiser you get. Now he's glad he doesn't gain weight because all his friends, you know, are their body types are, well, you know how guys, when they get in their 40s and 50s, things begin to change, just like with women. So she got it from me and from him, this self-conscious thing. And it is just, it's an awful thing. And I'm going to ask for permission to speak to the young people in the July 4th camp and talk about this self-consciousness thing because it needs to be broken off of our children, even coming out of the womb. We should just automatically break it off of all of our babies when they come out of the womb because it is a torment. It's a tormenting spirit. So I just thought that we would look at some of these things. See, and well, one thing Mike always did tell me was that I had pretty feet. And so that, you know, he would always find what he could to make me feel better. Okay, that's a good one too. See, and then I'm sure there'll be things that I would have never even imagined that somebody would be self-conscious about that. But I don't notice things that other people might be self-conscious about because my self-consciousness is still there. Okay. Would it be all right for me to read some of these? Because then we can have some suggestions about how to pray for other people. Now, we're not going to laugh when any of these are read because we don't know whose is whose. And these are not things that this is what we want to get rid of. Because when I go to pray for deliverance, this is going to be my list. That way we don't miss anything. Okay. I'm not sure this is supposed to be up here, but... Okay. Here are some things that women are self-conscious about. I see some of mine on here, too. Some I forgot. Okay. Let me see. I don't know what this first word is. Maybe it'll come to me. Okay. We have I don't know what that word is. But the second one is a big butt. Hair. Age. Is that maybe stretch marks? Some kind of marks and scars. Nails. Nose. Eyes off balance. Now we can see the things that the enemy has pointed out to this person to cause him to be self-conscious and dissatisfied about what God has made. We're saying that we're not satisfied with what he made. We are rejecting not only ourselves, but we're rejecting God and his creation. Okay, my hips and my fat tummy. Someone is self-conscious about not knowing how to act in certain situations, and then they condemn themselves because they didn't act in a way they felt was acceptable. Okay, so that's some awkwardness there. A crooked nose and thin hair, saggy skin, stomach, legs, mouth, aging in the face, gaps in my teeth, sunken cheeks, wrinkles in my hair, a missing front tooth. You know, one time I was, I don't know, flipping around the TV or something, there was a show on about somebody who only was born with no legs, no arms, only a torso. A torso, a neck, and a head. And the things that they had overcome and the things that they were accomplishing in their life. And you know, and I sit there and it makes you feel so ungrateful and ashamed for thinking about something as, well, I say silly. It's not silly to us. But when we look at, like, spots on the hands compared to someone who has no fingers, wow, it just really gives you a different outlook on those things about your body that you can be thankful for. Being top heavy. Now, see, that's a totally opposite problem that I had. And I don't know, sometimes I remember in my younger years thinking, why is it, Lord, when you made women, that some have too much and others have not enough? And why isn't there just a size, one size fits all? But is that not like saying to the potter that he did a bad job? It is. Another flat-chested, wide feet with big toes. And that's it. See, my daughter doesn't like to wear sandals because she feels like she has this one big toe that stands out above all the others. And so she's self-conscious about her feet. I don't get it. I do get it. That's the sad thing. I do get it. Fat. Wearing glasses. And I'm not sure about this one. This looks like a prayer request. Well, this would be something that the lying spirit would tell a person, that their children would be better off without them. They're self-conscious about not spending money wisely. They're self-conscious about the medication and cursing and swearing. So all of these things are things that we have picked out about ourselves to be dissatisfied about, that causes us to feel less than what we really are. And let me read this again. That when God created the man and the woman, he blessed them. And that means he looked at them with adoration. And he said that what he had made was very good. Good as an adjective in the wildest sense. Used likewise as a noun, both in the masculine and the feminine, the singular and the plural, good. Also as an adverb, well, beautiful, best, better, bountiful, cheerful, at ease, fair, to be in favor, fine, glad, graciously, joyful, kindly, kindness, loving, merry, most pleasant, pleaseth, pleasure, precious, prosperity, ready, sweet, wealth, welfare, and being well-favored. Now, I'm glad that nobody said that they felt like they were ugly. Mike, when he was a little boy, had very, very buck teeth. In fact, when we got engaged, his mother got out these books of Mike and his sister when they were little. And I was wondering why she was showing me these kids. I said, well, who are these children? She said, well, that's Mike. And I was like, and knowing him, knowing his heart, he's very compassionate. I know he was a precious little boy. But he had, how superficial, these really, really, but he couldn't even close his mouth. His teeth were so bucked. And he had this wild hair and ears that, you know, he felt like his ears stuck out really bad. And he said it was really hard in school because teachers treated him different because he wasn't cute, you know, like some of the other kids. Or that's what he felt. He felt like the teachers acted toward him differently because he wasn't cute. And he was colorblind, and he had colored an apple tree one time. And green looks red, and red looks green. I don't understand it. I think he must see things. I said, I wish you could see this the way it really is. He said, I see it. I said, but the colors, if you see a red light or a green light, if it's blinking, he wants to know what color it is. And I said, well, if you really don't see red, then how can you see this rose, how pretty it is? Does it look green to you? Or do the leaves look the same color as the flower? I don't understand color blindness. But he colored the tree. I don't know what color he colored the tree, but the apples were green. And the teacher got mad at him and thought he was being smart. It's not like a green apple tree, but or green and brown are mixed up. I don't. Whatever he did, she shook him by the shoulders because she thought he was being smart aleck. And that really stuck with him. I told him, I said, honey, have you forgiven that teacher? Because, you know, we really need to forgive people that hurt us like that back then. And he said he had, but he'll never forget it. You know, he's not hurt. His feelings are not hurt about it anymore. But he can never forget being shook by the shoulders. So this is, and I call it the spirit of magnification because of this. The way God looks at us is the light of Jesus, when like this hand, if I put it way up to that light, we see the hand, but the light is so bright you don't see the imperfections. If I held it, you wouldn't see the spots because the light is so bright it kind of whites all that out. But when we turn our back on the light and we begin to, and Satan steps into the picture and causes us to see all these imperfections, then the light is behind Satan and us, and the reflection on the wall is way bigger than what it really is, right? So that's why I call it the spirit of magnification. It causes, when we turn away from the truth, the light of the truth shines on what is not true, and the lie is bigger than the truth. That's why we are convinced sometimes to believe the lie. It's like, in our eyes, like Goliath. You know David and Goliath? The Lord showed me one time that Goliath represented Satan. And when we come up against an obstacle, it's just like that situation. Goliath looked, everybody there was afraid of him. Nobody would challenge him because he looked so much bigger because he was the enemy and everybody was afraid of him. So that magnification was there But David wasn't intimidated by it because he knew who he was. And he knew who God was. And he had confidence that he was going to have the victory. So that's how we need to be. And the scripture says, I think it's in Isaiah, that when we see Satan, we will say, this, that is the man that made the nations to tremble? Because he's not nearly as big as he projects himself to be. So whatever the imperfection is that you have, all these things that you wrote down here, he's got a big old magnifying glass on it so that that's all you see. And that's not at all how God sees us. So today I just wanted to talk about this self-consciousness and to bring out these scriptures that show that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're healthy, which the majority of us, we're all healthy. Nobody here is on crutches or in a wheelchair. Our legs are working. No matter what they look like, they're working. And in God's eyes, they're beautiful. He looks at us and he sees beautiful. And so, this is going to be a really short teaching here. But now, I just want to pray. And then if anybody needs extra prayer, after we do the deliverance part of this, I'll be glad to pray with you. And then we can have a break. We'll have almost an hour or 45 minutes to, if you want to close your eyes for a little while or just walk outside or whatever. Okay, so Father, since everyone or all of these of us who have turned in these papers, I just want to lead us first into a prayer of asking God to forgive us. So if you want to repeat after me, you can, or you can say it quietly to yourself. I'll just pray for my own, repent and confess and ask for forgiveness of my own, and y'all can pray in agreement and for your own self. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for all the times that I have criticized myself, that I have been critical of the way you made me. Lord, forgive me for allowing Satan to make me be concentrated and notice and bring to even other people's attentions to make myself feel more comfortable. Or you know how we are, Lord. We'll point it out so nobody else notices it. And what I found most of the time, Lord, is people didn't even notice those things. So I just ask you to forgive me for being dissatisfied with parts of my body, Lord. I thank you that I am whole. I thank you that I am healthy. I thank you that my arms and my legs, Lord, that I can walk, that my heart is healthy, that my body is beautiful in your sight. Lord, forgive me for not being thankful. Forgive me for taking things for granted. And Lord, I ask that this day forward, that I will even look in the mirror, and if necessary, I will quote this scripture about praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, that what you created is good. It is all those words. It is beautiful, and it is that you have put your favor on me, and that I am bountiful, and that all of those pleasant to you, Lord, that's what's most important. Forgive us, Lord. And now I just take authority over that spirit of magnification, and I bind it and I break it off of every one of us sitting here and whoever will hear this teaching. I bind that spirit of magnification. I break your power off of us that causes us to just see that thing that we're dissatisfied with and make it so big that it's the only thing that we think about and that we angst over. I break your power and command you to leave us now. I command that critical eye. I blind that critical eye. I command it to go. I break its power that when I look, that when we look at ourselves, Lord, we will see your creation.
that when we look at other people, Lord, that we will see your creation and the beauty of it. I bind self-consciousness of stomachs, pudgy stomachs, round stomachs, wide stomachs, stomachs with stretch marks, stomachs with scars for whatever reason, surgeries or whatever. I bind self-consciousness of stomachs. I bind self-consciousness of legs, of people being dissatisfied with their knees or their shins or their ankles or if their feet turn in or their feet turn out. Lord, we give you thanks for our legs. Lord, I come against self-consciousness of aging, that spirit of magnification that says, oh, there's another wrinkle. Mm-hmm. Here it comes. I bind that spirit and command it to go right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I come against aging. It is part of the curse of death. I bind right now and break that curse of death that came on us from Adam and Eve. I break its power. I command that slow diminishing, wearing away, losing strength and vigor and life, I bind it and break it in the name of Jesus. Right now, you go. Death, go. I break your power. I speak life. I speak vigor. I speak vitality in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak a reversal right now of the damage that has happened in our bodies from the times we were born to this day that we come into this knowledge about the spirit of death, the diminishing, and all of that that has taken place. I speak a reversal to it right now, a miraculous restoration to our muscles and our tendons and our skin. We don't have to have sagging skin. Moses was 120 and his strength was abated not and his eyes were not dim. The aging process had no power over him. And I just release that into each one of us. A reversal of damage. Restore our muscles. Restore our strength. I speak restoration to our skin. I speak to the skin, the tendons and the muscles to be restored, the connective tissue. I come against sagging in Jesus' name. Jesus walked on the water. Gravity should have pulled him right down. It's a supernatural thing. And we are a spirit. Our spirit man, it says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it will quicken. That means give life to that which is dead. It's a resurrection life, a constant resurrection life in our body. I activate that in every one of us right now. I speak resurrection life to our bodies, our minds, our eyes, our muscles, our organs, in the name of Jesus. I come against, I bind awkwardness, fear of man, fear of doing things wrong. I bind it and break it in Jesus' name. And I just loose, what does it say? He said it was good. I loose that at ease. That's one of the words in good. I loose, whoever turned this in, I loose that ease. I loose that the pleasant, being well-favored, the self-consciousness of being awkward. I break that off in Jesus' name. All awkwardness and feeling like a spectacle, not knowing how to act and what to do. Lord, I just ask you right now, to take that away from this person so that they can walk with ease and grace in Jesus' name. Lord, we cannot choose our body shapes. And Lord, I ask you to forgive us for being critical of our body shapes. But I take away the self-consciousness of having a big butt. I take away self-consciousness of whatever kind of hair we have that doesn't meet up to what we would like for it to be. I bless this person's hair in the name of Jesus. I don't know what kind of marks these are. Again, I can't read this writing, but it's some kind of marks and scars. I come against self-consciousness of marks on the face or on the body anywhere and having scars. I come against shame and embarrassment in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to bless, I just bless this person that they'll never see those scars again. When they look into the mirror, they will see beauty and grace and Jesus, the light of the Lord, and His blessing. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us. I bind and break the lying spirit. I come against the lying spirit that has tormented every one of us about something in our lives. I bind it and break its power off your life. You lying spirit, I command you to go now. I break your power. I deafen our ears to your voice in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Nails. I guess that's what it says. You know, a lot of us are self-conscious. Some people bite their nails or maybe, I don't understand what this is about the nails, if I'm even reading this correctly. But I just come against all self-consciousness having to do with your hands, knuckles, if there's any arthritic joints. I speak to arthritis in the name of Jesus. I bind it. I break the generationally inherited curse of arthritis off of every one of us in Jesus' name. Not only in the hands and the fingers, but the knees, the ankles, the feet, the toes, elbows, shoulders, wrists, hips, backs. I command that arthritis to go in Jesus' name. Lord, I come against self-consciousness of noses. All self-consciousness of noses. I come against all self-consciousness about our eyes. I bless noses. I bless your nose. I bless your eyes. Lord, if there's something not right in the eyes, I ask you to fix it. I just ask you to correct it, Lord. There are things that go wrong sometimes during birthing and bad pregnancies and all kinds of things that cause little imperfections in us. But Lord, you're able to straighten that out. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. I bless all hips. Big hips, little hips, round hips, straight hips, flat hips. Lord, if they are able to help us to walk and to stand and to dance and to live, to go to the store, to get up every morning, to get in the bed every night. Lord, I thank you, and I ask you to bless our hips in Jesus' name. I bless our legs, all our legs, all the thighs, all the knees, the calves. Lord, I bless our teeth. Some are crooked, some are straight, some have spaces. Some are crowded together. Lord, if they're healthy teeth, I give you thanks for them. And I ask you to bless our teeth in Jesus' name. I come against all self-consciousness of anything in our face, whether it's our mouth, our nose, our eyes, our bone structure, chins. It's another thing my daughter is self-conscious about. She thinks she has a big chin. Like, Lord, I bless my daughter. I bless her. Lord, show her how beautiful she is. Wrinkles. Lord, us ladies, we don't like wrinkles. And that, again, is part of that aging process. So I just speak to the skin, that connective tissue. And I'll tell you something. That was something that as aging and weight, that's become, you know, a new one the devil has given me a fit about. But, you know, as you get older, your chin is not like it used to be, this under here. But one day, I was looking at beautiful women that I know. And I thought to myself, but see, this is what the devil does. He brings that magnifying glass on something that you don't like, something that you notice. But I noticed what I battled that with was I looked at all the beautiful older women that when I look at them, I just see a beautiful woman. I'm not looking at that. Wow, look at that sag. Wow, look at those wrinkles. Wow, look at, I don't see any of that. So what makes me think people are picking that out on me? So I just said, no, devil, not going there. Not going there. But that's what we need to do when the devil comes up and says, hey, no, devil, no. I am blessed. God sees me beautiful. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I bless our hair, Lord. Some thin, some thick. It's just like I was talking about my granddaughter. Some people have thin hair. I have enough hair on my head for five people. People say, why don't you let your hair grow out? I said, my hair does grow out. Why don't you wear your hair longer? My hair doesn't grow long. It grows big. It's thick and it just gets bigger and bigger and it grows straight out. So it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why I wear it really, really short. I'm due a haircut now. But what is it that makes us do that? I lived across the street from a girl one time, and she had that alopecia, I think that's what it's called, where all the hair falls out. She just had like three or four strands here and three or four strands there. And yet we will fuss if we have thin hair, or if we have thick hair, or if we have frizzy hair, if we have curly hair, whatever. That's what we do ourselves. We are constantly rejecting ourselves and the creation that God created. Lord, this person who is self-conscious about wearing glasses, Lord, I give you thanks that we have glasses. I give you thanks. So I come against self-consciousness of having to wear glasses. They've come a long way with glasses. Now they can be, if that's what you want it to be, a fashion statement. You know, it can be an accessory. So, Father, I just come against this self-consciousness of having to wear glasses. We give you thanks that they have found a way to be able to make glasses where we can see, that we're not walking around blurred visioned. Help us to be thankful, Lord. And Lord, whoever wrote this one about fat, there's, Lord, there are reasons. Sometimes, you know, I look at my grandmother and my mother and a couple of my aunts and several of my cousins and myself. And Nancy's sister and mother, who I've been told I look very much alike, that there are body types that we inherit from, it's genetic. I mean, we all look like God used the same cookie cutter to make us. But here again, those, you know, it's like you reach a certain point and you begin to really start taking on the same body shape as your mother or your grandmother. And we are dissatisfied with that. And Lord, if there is a root cause that's causing us to overeat, frustration, anger, hurt, sometimes there are things that have happened to us as children. I've only become aware of some of this when I started learning about deliverance, that many women that have been sexually molested will purposely carry extra weight so that they will not be attractive, so that nobody else uses them in that manner. Or, you know, I know that right now there are situations in my life that are not as I would have them to be. But I have no control over it. But see, we can control this. I can't control anything else, but I can control what I put in my mouth. I told my husband the other day, because, you know, my son, I have a son who's he's a doctor, so he's very health conscious, and he's always nagging me about my weight. And I just told him, I said, do you want me to tell you why I'm carrying extra weight? I have some frustrations in my life. And those are things that I'm not, you know, that are not pleasant to me. But I can bring pleasure by eating. I know that. I know that's what's at the bottom of this. But that's not an excuse, and that's not to say that it's okay. I need to deal with that. So, Lord, I just come against whatever in our lives is causing us to eat out of frustration, out of pain, out of sorrow, out of if there's a spirit of gluttony there, I bind it and break it in Jesus' name. Bondage. I come against the bondage to food. It's like whenever, and I come against the spirit, the switching spirit. Like we trade some people who are trying to stop smoking, stop drinking, stop doing drugs, will trade and switch their addiction from one thing to another. It's still bondage. So I bind and break every spirit of bondage to food, to drugs, to alcohol that causes us to overeat, overindulge. I bind that bondage and break it and command it to go. And Lord, help us to eat more healthily. Help us not to eat when we shouldn't. Lord, help us to bring that frustration to you and lay it on your altar instead of... And you know what it really is? You know what smoking and drugs and eating and all of that represents? Self-comfort. It's just like a baby who sucks its thumb. We would all look silly sucking our thumbs. So we do other things. We'll smoke a cigarette because it's still, it's the mouth. There's something about the mouth that we've just got to self-satisfy with the mouth. So I just bind those bondages now and addictions in Jesus' name. Flat-chestedness and wide feet and big toes. Lord, I come against that self-consciousness of being flat-chested. You know what? I'm thankful now. I thought I always wanted breasts, but when I breastfed my babies, I found out they can be in the way. They can be uncomfortable. And where nobody ever looked at me with, you know, those kind of lustful eyes, when I would go someplace when I was breastfeeding my babies and it was hard for me to find clothes, I had to wear like big things. And Mike took me to the fair one night and we had left the baby with a babysitter, but you know, when you're breastfeeding, they start filling up. And almost every man that passed, that's the first thing they would look at. I felt like I was walking around naked. I didn't like it. So, you know, if we're big-chested, we want to be small-chested, and if we're flat-chested, we want breasts. So, Father, I come against that self-consciousness of breasts, period. Just the self-consciousness, whether they're too big or whether they're too small. I thank you that they're healthy. I thank you that they do what they were created to do. I had plenty to feed my babies. They were fat and happy. Okay, so let's see. I think we have covered it all, ladies. So, Lord, I just ask you to bless the women here. Let me make sure I didn't miss these two. Okay, a crooked nose. Well, I blessed the noses a while ago. Lord, you said you would make every crooked thing straight. So I speak to the crooked nose to be straightened in Jesus' name. I mean, if the Word says it, I believe it. Start speaking to your nose. Tell me, look in the mirror. Nose, you be straightened in Jesus' name. Bones in that nose, you be straightened in Jesus' name. Who knows? Might straighten. But Lord, I'm thankful that they have a nose. There's a man who comes in our office that got cancer and he doesn't have a nose. I bet he would trade for a crooked nose in a New York minute. But Lord, we get the point. And I thank you. I thank you for the honesty and the openness of the women to bare their souls and be honest that they have found dissatisfaction in your creation, Lord. But I thank you for every woman here. I thank you that as I look out at every one of these women, they are beautiful. I know some of them better than others, but they're beautiful. I love them, and as you do. And Lord, I ask right now that you would, I ask that you would baptize them with a fresh anointing of your love for themselves. Teach us to love what you love and to be thankful for our bodies And I thank you for this time with them. And Lord, I just ask you to bless every one of them. Thank you for your attention, and be blessed. Be blessed. You're beautiful. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.